The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. The UN Office on Drugs and Crime has just released its 2021 World Drug Report. They held a news conference at UN Office Vienna. We're going to hear some of that. Here's Angela May, chief of the UNODC Statistics and Surveys section.
One of the main analyses that we have done this year is to understand how young people perceive cannabis. And compare it with actually the evolution of the cannabis product over the years. And so you see that in the last 24 years, there has been quite a sharp increase in the percentage of THC that is contained in cannabis, both in the United States and in Europe. To give you an example, in Europe it went from 7 to 11%, from 6 to 11%, and in the United States from 4 to 16. So, it quadrupled the percentage of THC in cannabis in the United States. So clearly, cannabis in the market has become more potent. On the contrary, we see an opposite trend on how young people perceive cannabis. And so the long time series that we have, again, from the US and Europe, on the percentage of adolescents that say how if they perceive cannabis as harmful when used regularly, you see that this has decreased by 40%, for example, in the US, and by 25% in Europe. So there is clearly a mismatch between the reality, so the potency of cannabis in the market, and the fact that young people actually perceive it, that less and less people perceive it as harmful. So this is one of the analyses and findings that brings also from the UNODC side the need, shows particularly the need to avoid misinformation, to really the need to disseminate factual information about cannabis without stigmatizing drug users or cannabis users, but to make sure that there are scientific facts, and so that out there, particularly young people, can make decisions based on scientific and authoritative information. The other analysis that we have done, for the first time we have tried to quantify the sales of drugs over the darknet. And we have analyzed some of the major drug market on the darknet, and we saw that even if there is a lot of volatility, and if in the presentation I would have shown the how volatile are the drug market on the darknet, because they easily come and they easily disappear. But overall, if we see, on average, we see that it has increased by quadruple the annual sale of drugs in the darknet, and that has reached about 350 million in 2020. So clearly, still remain the darknet if we a small proportion of sales made in general on drugs. It remains still a small proportion globally, but is really fast growing. The other analysis that we have done this year is to think about the future. And we thought, how does the drug situation will look in 2030? 2030 is the year where we hope to achieve all of the sustainable development goals. So we took that as the target year to see also what we think about the size of drug markets. And so looking at the demographic changes, and particularly looking at the increase in population, but also the increase of and the percentage of young people, particularly in developing countries, we estimated that by 2030 we will have about 11% more number of people that use drugs. And in Africa, this percentage will be 40%. So we expect that in 2030, if you know, if nothing is done to try to contain further the problem, we will have 40% more people who use drugs in Africa. So why is this important? Thank you. So just to show you here, I think what I wanted to show was the volatility of the market on the darknet, and you clearly see with the different colors and the up and downs how really the darknet change every day. Now here, in terms of what I was discussing, this increase, why is important? It's important because that 40% more drug users in Africa means more drugs produced, more drug trafficked, more need for treatment facilities. So in a continent where we already have serious gaps in terms of treatment facility, and also where, if we see globally, is probably where we have the weakest capacity also to fight the drug problem. And so this is, again, if you want an outlook to prepare and to think about in the future, so that in a way countries of international communities prepare to think what will come if nothing happens. Now, looking at the COVID, we have done a thorough analysis to understand how and if COVID has impacted the drug market. So in terms of use and the provision of services for drug users, it was clear, and you see here in the right, the graph in the right column, that according to experts, there was clearly a disruption in many of the services for drug users. But if you want, the good news is that actually this disruption and all the difficulties that came with the COVID actually triggered innovation. And so we have seen across the globe innovation in terms of making treatment medicines more available, even through extending prescription practices, even through vending machine, where you know, those that need it, particularly people with drug use disorder, could really there and find the medication, so to overcome the closures also of health facilities for drug users. So, and then of course with technology, of course it was there before, so it's not that the COVID invented a new way of providing counseling, for example, but this clearly accelerated the COVID. And so the idea is that this is an encouraging trend, because it can eventually help to increase the accessibility of services if the technology is used in a way that you know, protect the privacy and respect you know, all the scientific standards of treatment. Then looking at the supply side, so has the COVID and the disruption disrupted the way how drug traffickers operate? And clearly, I think overall, we have to say traffickers have demonstrated once again an incredible agility and on the way of adapting to the situation. So overall, drug markets have not drastically changed. But there are some dynamics that probably, you know, have been accelerated, and some of the issues that changed during the pandemic. One, and you see on the right side here, is the change on modes of transportation. This is based on small seizures, but you can clearly see between 19 and 20 how for each drug, how this has changed. And so clearly, traffickers try to find other ways, and particularly maritime ways, but also riverways to transport instead of land, where there were particularly strong closures and where there was increased control in borders. But also what we have seen emerging, again, amazingly across all the regions, is an increase in the size of shipment. So we have seen seizures that have been bigger and bigger And so clearly showing that the way how the traffickers have adapted is probably to, you know, go to maybe what they think safer route and then, you know, concentrate more traffic in shipment. And also, we have seen more and more this what we call contactless ways of delivering drugs. Again, this emerged even before, particularly, for example, with the darknet and the use of internet, etc., to access to supply drugs. And that clearly this has accelerated. You know, through mail, through couriers, the pandemic has accelerated this, but probably it is something that is likely to stay if this is proven to be less risky for both traffickers and those that use drugs. And so, in a way, even if the COVID has not drastically changed fundamentally drug markets, have, you know, accelerated or triggers some new dynamics. Then in terms of use, so again, what we have seen since the beginning of the pandemic, through expert perception, and also now more and more data are becoming available, even if we don't have, we are not in the position to do global estimate, but more and more all the information that is coming available points to the same direction. That basically some types of drugs increased use. There was an increased use in terms also of frequency, probably. And these were particularly cannabis and the non-medical use of benzodiazepines. You see it here in the graph in terms of the perception of experts. And in terms of percentage of countries where this expert report increase and decrease. And we see it also, for example, in the global survey of drug users. So this is, I think, a clear trend. What we have seen is also a clear trend is that actually some other drugs were less used, and particularly the drugs that are traditionally used in party settings, for example, in social settings like MDMA or like also some of the stimulants we have seen decrease, cocaine in some parts of the world and also methamphetamine in some parts of the world. So then, again, thinking about, we really try to see, and we say, but beyond the today and what we see today on the COVID, will be has COVID triggered something that will have a lasting effect on the drug market? And what we have analyzed is particularly the impact of economic crisis. And we discuss the potential and the risk based on what we have seen in the past and based on the condition that we have analyzed for many years that affect both drug cultivation and production and drug use. We see the risk that more people that will be probably pushed into illicit activities because of the economic challenges that they are facing, particularly in some countries where this may have a major effect. We have seen, for example, even from the economic indicators, that Latin America has been one of the regions that has most hit by the crisis. And the same, like a country like Afghanistan, where really the situation beyond drugs, also with increasing prices, etc. So there is this risk and vulnerability of people to get involved more in illicit cultivation and manufacturing of drugs. And the same thing for drug use. Last year, we have analyzed the social economic condition and the risk factors of drug use and moving from drug use to dependence, so to drug use disorders. And clearly, some of the social economic factors like employment, education, poverty have clearly an impact on drug use disorders. And so we have seen all, and we have seen during the pandemic how much more people have been pushed into poverty. We saw how many school children have been left out of school. And we have also seen how the COVID has lost, has made many people to lose their jobs. So clearly all of these factors are likely to impact. And also another factor that more and more is emerging is the increase on mental health conditions, so more people expose to mental health disorders. And again, knowing the relationship, the close relationship between mental health disorders and drug use disorders, so clearly also this will have an impact.
That was Angela May, chief of the UNODC Statistics and Surveys Section, speaking at a news conference on the release of the UN's World Drug Report 2021. We'll hear more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh, editor of drugpolicyfacts.org. Well, as I said, it was a news conference. They did take questions. Let's hear some of that.
Hi, I'm Albert Otte with... Yes. Hi, Albert Otte with DPA, Chairman Press Agency. About the possible long-term effects of COVID-19, what makes you think that the effects will be long-term and that people didn't just take to cannabis and other non-medical use of medications because they were locked into their apartments and had nothing else to do? And related to that, after the 2008-2009 crisis, because that's the crisis that I think you're comparing it to, how long was the effect? How big and how long was the effect? Thanks.
Okay, so the long-term effect that we have presented and analyzed is not much relating on what happened during the pandemic, because as you say, you know, this increase in cannabis or, you know, non-medical use of pharmaceuticals was very much, and we analyze the reasons why people report to have increased or decreased drugs. Where we project an increase is more in relation to, if you want, the macroeconomic and macro-social and economic situation that we see projecting in the future. And so it's more the fact of having had almost 2 years of young people not in school. And in some regions, they're still experiencing lockdown. And we're starting, for example, having anecdotal information. Some countries, like in Latin America, where children that were out of school, they were recruited by groups to get into either drug cultivation or production, etc. So... the issue that we have seen and is well researched that more than drug use is drug use disorders. So when it's not just the drug use and the but is the regular use, and when you get to dependence, particularly that this is really determined by a number of risk factors. And so that are well known. And these risk factors are a combination of, if you want, genetics, family, school, communities, and, national circumstances. And what we are linking now, this outlook perspective, is more into this analysis and this what we call, if you want, a vicious cycle. And so what we see is when you will have more people experiencing poverty, when you will have more people that lose their job, these are definitely risk factors for drug use disorders.
My name is Sharif. I am representing the Horn of African Youth Agency as well as the UNCAF, United Nations Correspondent Association. So my question goes to Africa. And I would, in your report, you mentioned the school leavers, but school leavers. But in Africa, there is the school street, the street children. And they used to use hashish, but if they don't find it, they use the benzene as drugs. And I haven't seen that in your report, but my question, on any level, have you discussed with this issue? Thank you.
We have analyzed this issue a few years back. I don't remember now the years, maybe 3 years ago or so, where indeed we analyzed the drug use among street children. The data are very patchy, so anecdotal information confirm what you just said, that there is a use of substances, some more relating to stimulants, and others more relating to, more relating, for example, to heroin or other substances. So we're not able globally to estimate how much, but as you say, that is definitely a prevalent phenomenon among school children. And since you mentioned Africa, and that's why I think it's particularly important to think about the years to come, both in terms of, as I discussed earlier, the fact that Africa has the youngest population, and young people are the ones that are more exposed to drug use. And so the increase in population in Africa and the combination with the fact that there is in Africa a very young population, that indeed is a worrying trend for the young people in Africa, not only the school, the street children.
Yeah, I have two questions. The first one is about the darknet and the use of cryptocurrency to pay there. How important is to regulate the cryptocurrency market just to stop the darknet as a drug bazaar? Because the lack of transparency indeed is a factor to that. And the second one is about methamphetamine. There has been an increase in international interception by the police, but the chemical precursor has fallen, the interception has fallen like 99%. I don't know how can that be possible. And is there any indication that a state actor is involved in any kind of methamphetamine production, like, I don't know, North Korea or something like that? Thank you.
Yes. So for the cryptocurrency, as you know, the cryptocurrency used to trade drugs are a very, very small percentage. You know, the issue of cryptocurrencies is it involves a large economic market. But definitely for the drugs, that is an instrument that we argue can be used to help control the sales in the darknet. And particularly, because that's, one of the things that why the darknet is becoming so more and more popular is anonymity and the fact that, is less risky definitely than purchasing on the street. And so the regulation of cryptocurrency can help, together with other issues. Any measure alone would not be enough, but that would help to also increase the capacity of law enforcement to actually infiltrate and also to identify also those behind the darknet market. On the methamphetamine, what is happening is that the control system of drugs include also the control of precursors. And so there are certain precursors, chemicals, that are under international control. What traffickers are doing is to move into other chemicals that are not under international control. So, in a way, other chemicals that then they can use to either produce the control precursor or the what we call the precursors. So that's why it's becoming more and more challenging for law enforcement to use also precursor control together with the control of the drugs. And basically what we see now that clearly there is an expansion of the methamphetamine market, both in the two big markets, Southeast Asia and North America. And so that's why an increase, a massive increase on seizures, that we can say comfortably that is an increase in the market, because we see also a decrease in price, we see an increase in use. So clearly this is an indication of a market expansion. The fact that the seizure of internationally controlled precursors is going down shows that the law enforcement has not the capacity to interject and to use, if you want, as a supply control measures, the interjection of precursor because of this continuous cat and mouth game that the traffickers are playing.
Well, I have a question on the chat here, Angela. This is from Julia from AFP. The report notes a record again in cocaine manufacturing in 2019. Why is that? Is that fueled by an increase in use due to the growing world population, you know, so demand, or what is the reason for the record again in cocaine manufacturing?
Question. So, the cocaine is one of those markets that is led by both. As the great majority of drug market, you have a combination of supply-driven factors and demand-driven factors. And what we are seeing here is that, indeed, you see the supply growing, but also, at the same time, we have seen the increase over the years of the use in the two big markets. In the U.S. now is stabilizing, but you know, in the last few years, there's been clearly an increase, and the same for Europe. And so there are both combination. From the supply side, the increase is mainly led to the more concentration of the cultivation and production site. So even if cultivation is slowly going down, we have seen a decrease in 2019, and now the new data from Colombia again see a decrease on the area under cultivation. But traffickers are concentrating more the production, making the production more efficient. And so the manufacture of cocaine is still increasing. Again, not as fast as it was increasing in previous years, but it's still increasing because of this concentration and because of this increased efficiency factors. On the other side, we see an increase in the use. So both side. What would be important, again, thinking about the future, is that what we have seen in terms of markets in the past, the two big markets, North America and the Europe, were quite a distinct market. You could see it on the price, you could see it on the purity level of the cocaine, so clearly managed by different groups, and so what we would define different markets. What we are seeing now is that actually the markets are merging. We see now the purity in Europe having equally and having the same level of purity in the United States. But again, that means for Europe, that used to be the one where the price was higher, where the prevalence was lower than North America. So the tendency and the trend that we see, and that is worry for Europe, is that this trend will bring possibly new users in Europe, and we are seeing it currently still increasing use in some of the main countries. We have also seen emerging the use of crack cocaine, so more harmful use also of cocaine among some of the users. So clearly all indicators are going into the direction that Europe is still expanding market on cocaine.
That was from the news conference announcing the release of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime's World Drug Report 2021. The main speaker was Angela May. She's chief of the UNODC Statistics and Surveys section. June 26th is the annual United Nations Day Against Drug Abuse and Illicit Trafficking. Too much of a mouthful. Better known as World Drug Day. And well, folks, I hope you all had a happy drug day. For now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Century of Lies. Find this edition of Century of Lies along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long! For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.